My pronouns are she, her, hers. I am a trans woman. I don't know if I'm a non-binary trans woman or a binary trans woman. It changes by the day. And queer, non-specifically queer. I always say I'm not emotionally attracted to men. I am actually a therapist for domestic violence survivors. Yeah. So that is my job. That is my passion. I'm a social worker and I'm a trauma therapist.
I would love to hear, actually, as a starting point, about how what you define girlhood as for yourself. Because there's a very traditional, like, definition of, like, when that is in your life and what that means. And I would love to hear your take on it.
So this is really interesting to me because, you know, I've actually been thinking about, like, what does it mean now that I am transitioning, now that I'm actually coming into myself as an adult, to go back and give myself those experiences of what we'll call girlhood that I didn't get to have, mm-hmm. Being a trans woman. So, you know, I was kind of a sort of a lost girl, right? Like I didn't know that I was a girl. I didn't know that I could be a girl. Really wanted to hang out with girls. Most of my friends were girls. I was so admiring of all of the women around me. I was obsessed with Barbie dolls and movie stars, and I just loved everything about womanhood and girlhood. I didn't realize that that was a sign of something. Nobody had the language to give that to me. So I feel like, you know, for a long time, I identified as a trans girl, not a trans woman, and I think that part of that was I didn't get to have that girlhood. And so for me, girlhood is about, like, it is a space of becoming. It is a space of possibility. I think a lot about how Beauvoir talks about it as this open period before, mm-hmm. like, the rigid confines of adult femininity and all those expectations of heteronormativity come down. Obviously, that's very different, right, given how gender-policed our culture is. But I like the openness of it and the fluidity of it. Are you familiar with internal family systems?
No.
So it's a kind of therapy. It's based on the idea that our minds are multiple and we all have parts, mm-hmm. right? So some of our parts are younger, some of our parts are teenagers, some of our parts are adults. I've been going back to each of my parts and letting them know, hey, by the way, you were a girl this whole time. This is what was going on. This is why you were so confused. This is why you were so lonely. And it's been really healing to be able to give those childhood and teenager parts that experience that they didn't get to have. You know, we talk about being the adult that we need to be for our younger self. That's kind of what this is for me, but it's just sort of some more internal work. So I've been sort of like healing those sort of internalized transphobia or that internalized trans misogyny, going back and giving myself that access to girlhood, access to femininity that I didn't have. So girlhood is not a time for me. It's sort of like a liminal space that I can always go back and access if I need to.
So thinking about that, thinking about girlhood as a liminal space that you're kind of accessing when you need it or when you want it, like, what are you looking for when you access that space of girlhood?
I am accessing a sort of aliveness or connection mm-hmm. with myself that I didn't have when I was little, that I didn't have when I was younger. I have spent so much time in my life trying to find some sort of stability, some sort of security, some sort of self-love in, like, all of the wrong places, like eating disorders, overworking in school and work, you know, relationships. And, like, what I needed was some real core self-compassion. Mm-hmm. Being able to access that girlhood, access my trans identity, access that space has been really healing and has allowed me to step into, like, I don't have to have all this shit figured out. I don't have to be some perfect adult that has all of her shit together. Mm-hmm. I can be in my power, be in those aspects that are fun or enjoyable, right? So for so long, my body has been like, this is for other people. I need to look a certain way. I need to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. Girlhood is like those moments when I'm able to, like, be in my body for myself. I'm able to be in my style for myself. I'm able to be in my gender for myself. in the IFS, we talk a lot about self-energy, that core that we're all born with of compassion and curiosity, creativity, courageousness, confidence. That's the energy I'm looking for when I look for girlhood. Mm-hmm. That's the energy. I know I'm sort of getting a little bit mystical about this, but I really see my gender as connected to like that core spiritual essence, right? Like mm-hmm. those things are really connected for me. Being in touch with my self-energy is really what I look for when I'm looking for girlhood.
I love that you see like girlhood as a space of freedom. And I've been talking to a lot of people about like unsupervised girlhood, which is, I think is part of what you speak to, is this like, you know, not the part that other people see, but the part where like, you know, girls are alone with each other. We can get up to the weirdest stuff we yes. are trying to get up to. And I would love if you have like any, experiences of like that freedom or like community or even something that happened that was like just you that you would like to share.
I think that I have probably had some of the richest friendships I've ever had with women, both before and after I knew that I was a girl. Mm-hmm. Especially after, though, being able to like access that energy. I'm trying to think about how to answer the question because there's a lot here. I don't know. Like, I just danced for myself naked in the mirror this morning. Like, I was just happy, right? Like, I just loved, you know, estradiol is wonderful. I just love being in my body. I just love being like in this space. Like, I don't know. My mental health has been the best it's ever been since transitioning. I have really great friendships with women that I cherish. I don't know if this is answering the question, but like, I don't know. There's a deep energy that I feel very connected to other women all across the cis and trans spectrum. I love women in all the meanings of that word, in the feminist way, in the sapphic way, in the platonic way, in that admirational, like, wow, women are just really cool way. Mm-hmm. So having those deep relationships, I think, I don't know, what I'm trying to answer this unsupervised aspect, because I don't really feel like, I feel like so much of the way I embody womanhood is a resistance to patriarchy.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not trying to be a cis woman with a capital W. Like, that's mm-hmm. not my goal. I'm not trying to be attractive to men. I'm not trying to be a good patriarchal trad wife. Like, that's not what's going on here. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. I think you're headed in the right way. Yes. I think sometimes I use words and I just assume people know what I mean by them, and that's on me. When I think about unsupervised, like, so thinking about like quote unquote traditional girlhood, whatever that means, because you're being raised in it, there's this supervised quality, but because you've brought yourself to it, it's almost like every bit of girlhood you get to experience is as unsupervised as you would like it to be.
I think that's it. Yeah. Right. Because that's the sort of like, because for me, every sort of like, none of it was forced on me. All of it was something I had to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, that's the real magic of trans women, is that every bit of femininity, every bit of girlhood we get access to is we have had to fight for it. So I don't necessarily have to like every single trans woman I meet, but I admire them in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, so like, we might not click on a personal level, but I admire the fact that you fought for the identity that you have. I admire the fact that you fought for every scrap of girlhood that you had to get. And I think that that's something that's really underappreciated in a lot of feminist discourse and a lot of like sapphic discourse, is that like trans women are out here fighting for our lives. Trans women are out here, especially Black and Latinx trans women, Indigenous trans women, and just like, I really admire that spirit of self-creation, that like, oh, you not only had to put up with all the patriarchal bullshit saying like, you know, this is what it means to be a woman, but you had to put up with all the patriarchal bullshit that you don't get to be a woman at all. Mm-hmm. So like the double exclusion. So yeah, like that space of self-creation, I think, is a resistance to that surveillance you're naming, right? Like a lot of trans women talk about, you know, the joy they find in femininity. And that is not something that patriarchy wants them to have. Like if you're AMAB, like you are not supposed to enjoy being feminine. You're not supposed to want to become a woman. That's supposed to be like the ultimate taboo. Like, because if that happens, the whole patriarchy crumbles. So like, you know, like, I think, yeah, I think that speaks to that concern.
Yeah. Is it weird coming to femininity, coming from a space where femininity was kind of like, I don't know, like how was femininity presented to you growing up and how does it feel like to come to it on purpose?
So this is where it gets weird, right? Because like, there are like aspects to femininity that when you're inside it, oh, that shit can be real toxic. From the outside, it's got nice branding on it. So, you know, I was attracted to that. As I've sort of come into my feminist self, right, I have a master's degree in women's studies. I'm like very like, and you can't see it, like a whole bookshelf behind me with feminist books. Like, you know, that's where I spend a lot of my intellectual and like emotional time is in feminist thought. So like, I've really had to grapple with like, what is it that I appreciate about women? If gender's not essential, if gender's performative, right, what is it that I appreciate about femininity and womanhood? And I think a lot of it is those aspects that are resistive, those things that escape closure, the things that are not like, that are in excess of what the patriarchy wants capital W women to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was presented to me as very, very like, okay, like Cinderella princess, like literally I was obsessed with Cinderella, like, but like Barbie doll, like all of that pink shit, okay, except like, oh, that's really exciting for me, I want that. Like my choices are blue, like boys are stinking gross and mean as hell over here, or like the girls are doing something, like they are having emotionally, they're having emotional intimacy, they're doing some cool shit over here, like I want to do that. So if I have these two options that the patriarchy gives me, I guess I'll pick this one. So it was weird because I didn't really, it was sort of like outside of both, but like, if I have to choose one, this one sounds a lot nicer. And there are like a lot of, there's some really good branding on this over here, right? So a lot of that like pink sparkly magic that like we associated with like branded girlhood, like, yeah, I was into that. That said, you know, the more that I have found out about queer femininities, the more I found out about feminist femininities and feminist womanhood and girlhood, the more I have still been enamored with whatever that thing is. So as I, you know, I went to Hampshire College, which is in Amherst, Massachusetts. I took classes at Smith. Like I met a lot of really cool queer women in that space. I was so excited. Like, I want to be part of this world. Like, I felt sort of like I wasn't allowed to, like there was a lot of like weird stuff going on, like that whole trans women are predators sort of like mindset. But you know, like every single time I've been introduced to femininity, it's been exciting to me. So whether it's the patriarchal branding I got in childhood, or whether it's the sort of more queer, more feminist stuff I got, you know, in my adolescence and college years, like it's been exciting to me. And it's been this really cool, like everything that they say about it, that you get deeper emotional connections, that you get access to experience different parts of yourself in terms of fashion or playing with appearance, like the different things that they are foreclosed to masculinity, that's all pretty cool to me. So whether it's the patriarchal shit or whether it's the feminist stuff, it's all been good. So I think probably in terms of girlhood, I think the biggest piece for me was, you know, I really liked playing dress up. And I liked wearing dresses. I liked wearing makeup. I liked wearing high heels, like when I was really little. I was obsessed with really glamorous actresses. I liked Meryl Streep. I liked Leslie Ann Warren. I don't know if you've seen the Clue movie, but Miss Scarlet, she's like this very glamorous 1940s sort of like, I mean, I didn't understand this at the time. She owned a brothel, but like she's a madame. She's got that glamour to her. And Miss White and Miss Peacock. And this really glamorous 1940s, 1950s fashion. I was obsessed with all that shit. And so I think really enjoying, long answer, I'm almost there. I think really enjoying my appearance and being in my body I think that's a new thing for me as being a trans woman, and I think that's something I was trying to access when I was little. I think that's something that, I don't want to say AMAB people are denied, but I think it's presented in a different way. I think being in your body looks different under patriarchy for an assigned male person than it does for a assigned female person. And I was more interested in the ways that women and girls were invited to relate to their body than I was in the ways that men and boys were. Because I don't have any interest in being the biggest, strongest, stinkiest, like, I remember being a little kid in the bathroom and the boys were having some conversation about who could pee for longer than a minute. And I'm like, I literally don't care. This is so stupid. What the hell? So the way you can enjoy your body as an aesthetic object, I don't know. Because we usually frame that as a negative thing in feminist discourse, but there's positive elements to it as well when you're in the flow of it. Not when you're being objectified, but when you're able to be one with your body and see yourself in a way that feels authentic. Mm. I think that's really enjoyable. Hope that answered the question.
Yes. Okay, I know for me that my relationship with my body is crazy. And there have been times when we've been enemies, and there's been times where we are relearning to like each other. There's been times where we kind of tolerate each other. I'm wondering if you can kind of speak to your experience of that.
Yeah, so I've actually been really grappling with this recently. So I have had an eating disorder since I was early high school, maybe 12, 13 years old. And I am trying, I'm now finally at a point where I'm like, I'm ready to let go of some of this shit. I think the estradiol fucking helped. You know, I was just thinking about this question because, you know, a lot of discourse compares, a lot of transphobic discourse compares having an eating disorder to being trans, right? Like, oh, this is the same kind of mutilation. Like, we don't encourage this kind of mutilation, so you shouldn't encourage. And like, actually for me, on a level of phenomenology, they are the opposite. Because when you are in the state of an eating disorder, when you're in the state of anorexia, you are terrified for your body to change. You don't want to gain a pound. You don't want anything to shift. You don't want to be bloated. You monitor yourself obsessively. When you are taking estradiol and you are watching your body grow and change, you are marveled of your body. You are alive in your body. You are connected to your body. You want things to change. You want things to shift. You want your body to be alive. It's like you want your body to be dead. You want your body to be alive. It's like that's how different it is. So my relationship with my body has been wild because I was a fat kid. People bullied me relentlessly. So from an early age, I had a ton of shame. And I just thought it was my fault. I thought I was supposed to like hate myself, and like that's why you get the eating disorder, because you don't get to have a life until you're thin. So working through like all of the different ways I've related to my body, I'm finally at a point where I'm like, I still have some of the baggage, but I'm ready to let go of it. And I think that being able to embrace girlhood, being able to embrace my body is a woman's body. A woman can have any type of body. I feel more alive than I've ever felt. I feel more at home in my body than I've ever felt. Even I have a lot of chronic illness stuff. Even with all of that, even with the diabetes and all the other things that I have, like I feel more alive and at home in my body now than I ever did when I was at my lowest weight, than I ever did any other time in my life. And I think that being trans and embracing that and being out has helped a lot. I think just getting to a point where I accept that my body is actually mine, which embracing girlhood has really been helpful with, because for the longest time, I thought that my body was like for other people in the sense that I have to be thin or nobody's gonna like me. I have to be gender normative or nobody's going to like me. I have to be this, that, and the other. And just like when you get to a point where you realize that actually your gender is your own, actually your body is your own, it's like so freeing, because all of that self-monitoring bullshit that's in my head, like I have to objectify myself, I have to watch my weight all the time, to just let go of that. And embracing girlhood, those pieces go together for me, because again, it's that openness. It's that I'm alive. I'm in touch with my body. I'm in tune with my emotions. Like all of that connects.
Yeah. It sounds like girlhood is a space of creation for you. what has been your favorite, like, moment or, like, relationship or, like, thing of creation that you've gotten to experience so far?
Well, that's such a good question. I really like getting to have authentic, direct, connect relationships with other women. That's been really great for me. That's something I've been craving ever since I was a little kid. Like, I wanted to have those deep friendships I saw with girls. Like, mm-hmm. I hate to be essentialist about this, but, like, I was, like, I remember this very vividly, this experience where I was, like, these two girls that I was friends with, it was, like, in kindergarten, maybe first grade. One of them was crying, and I was really concerned, and I wanted to help, and they were like, no, go away. And I knew something was going on here, but, like, I couldn't tell what was going on. And it's possible I just wasn't close enough friends to them to be party to that conversation, but I think part of it was that I was being perceived as a boy. Mm-hmm. And to be able to have those really deep, unmediated relationships with women has been great. Other things have been, like, I get to, like the way I look in the mirror, not because I'm, like, 30 pounds underweight, but because, like, oh, like, my chest is coming in and my skin is soft and, like, you know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I feel really good about that. And the last thing I'll say is, like, I got myself a pair of heart earrings. I've wanted heart earrings since I was, like, in kindergarten or preschool. Like, I wanted that for so long. I finally did that for myself. Like, when I get to do these little things for myself, when I got my ears pierced, when I got the heart earrings, when I noticed my body starting to change, like, I have felt, like, I've just noticed myself smiling. Just, like, this joy that I, like, have not experienced at any other moment in my life. So I think that, I don't know if I have one moment, but it's just, like, these moments of, like, oh, this is what it means. This is what womanhood means to me. This is what girlhood means to me, is being able to be alive, be absolutely fully alive. In my relationships, in my emotions, in my appearance, but not, like, in a, like, other people see me way, but, like, I see me way. Mm-hmm. My mom told me once, I would talk about facial feminization surgery just to tell her what it was. My mom told me, oh, you don't need that. You have a very feminine face. Like, that, like, made my heart swell three sizes. Like, do you know? Like, that's just really good. Mm-hmm. That sort of connection, that sort of experience, like, woman-woman bonding, that really makes me feel good.
I would love to talk more about female relationships, because that feels like somewhere that you have a lot of, like, strong, positive experience and want for. And something I've talked to a lot of folks about is, like, romantic friendships between girls, and kind of, like, that deep, like, you know, something that a lot of, like, queer people who have, like, varied attraction have experienced in their girlhood is, like, these deep, almost romantic friendships with girls. It's something I still do. It's something a lot of people still do as grownups. Yeah, and I was wondering, like, what your experience around those kind of relationships has been.
It's been very pleasurable to be finally able to access something like that. It is something I have wanted ever since I was little. And, like, again, this is where, like, I'm very mindful as I'm having this conversation, like, there's a voice in the back of my head that says, like, maybe it's J.K. Rowling saying, like, you are a predator, that you want this thing that you should not have access to. But also, like, fuck that voice, because, like, I don't want it in a predatory way. Like, I have wanted to have these deep relationships with women ever since I've been little. And I think that, more than anything to do with my body, has been the motivation to transition. Like, I want to be able to experience these deep relationships that I saw and that I have wanted to be part of. I have some really amazing friends that I've been able to connect with in a deep way, and we're able to support each other emotionally, mm-hmm. and have really deep conversations about, like, what does it mean to be in a relationship? What does it mean to be an adult? What does it mean, you know, to grapple with all of these scary things that are going on inside of us, and, like, able to connect in that way. I think, trying to think of my examples here. I work with a lot of DV survivors, who can be anybody, but mm-hmm. it happens to be that my caseload is mostly women. And, I feel a real connection as a therapist, with all of the bullshit, all the patriarchy that my folks have been through, and trying to help them open up and connect with, you know, what do I want now? I've had someone else tell me who I need to be and what I need to be, what do I want? And that connection of like helping another person come into their aliveness, come into their authentic self. You know, relationships with family are hard, but like being able to connect with my mom in a new way has been really rewarding. It's different when you're someone's daughter than when you're someone's son. I don't know how to put that in any other way. I don't want to be, again, I'm really mindful not to be gender essentialist, but like, things do feel different.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I've always had really deep relationships with women. When I was little, my mom owns a store. And so I was raised by like all of the women that worked for her. You know, just really growing up around women, really being in awe of women, and finally getting to a place where like I am accepted as like I'm not some creepy guy over here. Like I just wanna be like have a deep, passionate, authentic friendship with you. Mm-hmm. Like it's a really great, rewarding experience. I've been connecting with people from my past, and now we're able to relate in a new way. It's really cool. It's like, oh, okay, like you're a person, I'm a person. Like, let's have a deep, authentic conversation about like emotions or like, what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be a grown up now. Like we were kids together. What does it mean to be grown ups now? I don't know. A lot of this is just about like then finding myself and figuring out like how to have a deep relationship with someone, but a lot of it's tied to gender.
Mm-hmm.
You
mentioned feeling like you had been denied a girlhood. Yeah, and I have like questions about the choice of the word deny. Like, what does that mean for you? And also, like, now that we've passed that space where there are still people attempting to deny you it, but you're a grown up and you're doing whatever you want because fuck those guys. Like, what has shifted there? And what are the things that were denied to you that you are chasing? Like, are there rites of passage that you have to see, like you saw other girls getting that you wanted? Yeah, that's very big. Go where you want.
Oh God. I think about this a lot, right? I think those deep romantic friendships we're talking about, I think that's part of it, you know. I've been a very lonely person for a very long time. And part of that is the neurodivergence. Part of that is first the fatness and then the eating disorder. I'm not going to say that being fat is bad, but other people think it's bad. So mm-hmm. they isolate you. You know, but also part of it was like the gender non-normativity and being cut off from like the people I want to be friends with, like the people that are offered to me as be friends with, I don't want to be friends with. And the people that I want to be friends with don't want to be friends with me because of a lot of bullshit, but a lot of it has to do with gender bullshit. I think so accessing those relationships, accessing pleasure, like, again, I want to be really mindful because I don't want to like say like, you know, like there's a lot of bullshit that goes along with being in an AFAB body and being forced into this box, but there's also pleasures in accessing your body as an aesthetic object
mm-hmm.
that is not, not something I have access to. Like, I don't know what it means to be a pretty man, but I love being a pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. Like, not in the sense of like I'm gonna like be Insta hottie, whatever, but like in the sense of like I'm gonna smile when I put on my heart earrings. I'm gonna put on a pink shirt and I'm gonna look good. Like I am going to like the way that my body looks. And I love my long hair and like I just love this. Right? It feels good to be connected with my body and like be able to enjoy the way I look, not because I meet a beauty standard, but because I feel like I'm authentic. I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. I like, when I think about being denied, I think a lot about like all of the bullshit mm-hmm. that is put on children in terms of gender. Like I really mourn for not just myself, but for every child that is put into a gendered box, because I think as our culture, we have done a really terrible job of allowing kids to just be themselves. We assume from their birth that they need to be in these narrow boxes, whether they're boys or girls, or whether they're non-binary, I don't think any child is born deeply gendered. I think there's, of course, there's gender identity, but I don't think of it as like pink and blue. I think of it as like people are weird. The gender is a spectrum. Gender is beautiful creation, and we put them in these narrow boxes, and then we subject them to all of these rules and punishments if they don't fit. And so when I think about being denied, I think about being like violently cut off from, you know, people I wanted to be in relationship with, activities I wanted to do, relationship to my own body, like all of this. And then when you come back, it's like, you feel like you're a fraud. You feel like you're taking something. You feel like you're a predator. All of this language we have around trans femininity, right? Around men in drag, right? That, you know, fairly violent policing of like, you should not be doing this. You should not be over here. I remember one time I was exploring my femininity in college and I was wearing makeup to class. I think it was lipstick and maybe nail polish. And from cis women, I got weird looks. I'm like, what the like, why do I feel bad right now? Why are you taking something away from me that I was just enjoying? And like, I'm not even like mad at this person. Like, I don't even know if she was like giving me a side eye. I don't know what that was. Maybe I just had my makeup on. Maybe it was just badly done. Like, girl, maybe you're looking out for me. But like, you know, it just, it feels like you're stealing something. And it's really harsh. It's really harsh to feel like your authentic self is a fraud or your authentic self is like theft or predatory. Mm-hmm. When like literally all I'm trying to do is live. Like all of these bills against trans people, all I'm trying to do is live. All these kids are trying to do is live. And mm-hmm. it feels really sad. So Sarah Ahmed has this comment, concept called gender fatalism. This idea that boys will be boys and girls will be girls. Like mm-hmm. this idea of, you know, this will happen. This is fate. This is fated. This is fatal. And I think a lot about that violence. Like I was at a gym once in my teenage years, and the gym owner, it was a small gym, he came up to me and said something along the lines of like, you're becoming a man. And it felt like a threat. Mm-hmm. It felt like a fucking threat. It's like, you're becoming a man. Like, what if I don't want that? What if I want something else? But it feels like for the longest time, it felt like there was no other option, and I had no language for what it was. So the culture denied it. Patriarchy denied it, the lack of language denied it, the punishments from peers and adults denied it. Like, there's a lot of really rigid rules around gender that you find out are fake when you get to be a grown up, but then it's still sad because you didn't get to have that freedom when you were younger. So there's parts of yourself that you have to find out late and maybe you never get to fully explore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, staying on that brain track of denial, I'm really thinking about rites of passage, you know, like the prom dress, and things yes. like that. And like, were those things that you wanted? What was it like to watch other people get them and not be able to have them? And, or are those things that you're now pursuing getting to experience as an adult?
I think very vividly of very one experience I have that I think probably should have been a very clear sign for me, but wasn't. This was, we were getting ready for prom, boys in one space, girls in another. And I was thinking about the girls getting ready in the bathroom together, putting on makeup, putting on perfume, looking, doing their hair. And I was sad because I was like, I want to be part of that. But then I'm thinking at the same time, what would it mean to be part of that? Because at that time I was still laboring under the delusion that I'm a boy. I'm like, you put on a suit and you're good to go. Like, so like what would be mean to be part of that? Like, it felt like a private shared experience that like, I'm just denied. And I didn't have any very disenfranchised grief. Like, I don't have any language for this. And so not necessarily address, but it's like those, again, it comes back to relationships a lot for me. It's like those experiences that like, you know, I remember being really excited because I got invited to this girl's birthday party and like, first grade, and this was when the Lizzie McGuire movie came out, so it was a very like girl-oriented birthday party. Like, I was very excited to be at this birthday party, and I, again, don't have the language for it, but like little experiences like that, things that like were rare for me because, like, I'm in this box. I don't want to be over here. But anytime I could go over there, that was really fun. So, yeah, like, I remember being, like, weirdly defensive around, like, things that were, like, I loved playing with girls' toys, girls' computer games, girls' whatever. I felt really defensive because, like, on one hand, it was like, why are these things only for girls? But also, I want them because they're for girls. It was so, it was a weird experience. I remember there was, like, it was something like the McDonald's toy. You remember how there's a, they always would ask, they don't ask, do you want the Hot Wheels or do you want the Barbie? Which is the sensible question. They ask, do you want the boy toy or do you want the girl's toy? And we would always lie and say, oh, this is a girl, right? Or this is for a girl. Because, like, I wanted the Barbie doll. I didn't want a stupid car. Right. So, like, it was really weird, like, being confronted again and again with, like, this thing is off limits to you. You are not allowed to have this thing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, it's not that Barbie dolls are that exciting. It's plastic. But it's, like, it's all of the culture that goes around it. Mm-hmm. It's all of the identity that goes around it. It's all of the relationships that go around it. And I think that that's really something that I really appreciate. So more than any one right or experience, I think that is like all of the culture around these things is what I missed out on. So yeah, I would love to get a big dress and like party, but like part of the thing is that like those experiences are like those experiences of transition, those experiences of becoming a woman, like that kind of that ship has sailed. Like, I don't necessarily feel like I need to go. Also, like, my idea of what a woman is and what a woman should look like has transformed dramatically since I was 5, right? Like, I don't, like, I'm a woman now. I don't need to, like, put on any type of thing for the patriarchy, right? So, like, yeah, I had a phase where I was painting my nails and it felt really great. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I enjoy this. This is also a lot of work to do every, you know, week or so. I'm going to give myself permission to, like, not have to have some kind of makeup on to feel like a woman. And then that permission giving felt good too. So I think at this point, I'm trying to transition away from the I missed out on specific things to I am in relationship with my body and my life and my friends in a way that feels authentic. And that's what womanhood is. That's what girlhood is. So we think a lot about the culture around girlhood. I think it's really sad that in order to access these exciting experiences of gender, you have to conform to such rigid rules. Right? Because this is sort of the double bind, right? As feminists, we want to say, like, this is patriarchal bullshit. As trans-affirming people, we want to say, like, there are things about gender that we like. Yeah. And I think it's both, right? I think that the play and the enjoyment and that authentic aliveness is wrapped up in this whole culture of conformity and rigid rules and punishments so that if you get anything good out of this, it's like the whole system. You have to endorse the whole system. And it's like, I don't know. I like a lot about femininity, but I don't like all the rules and punishment that's wrapped up in. So, you know, yes, there are things that I miss. Like, again, that prom memory really still haunts me sometimes, but there are also ways that I can access what I enjoyed about that now without having to go through all of the hoops, right? Like, I don't have to spend $500 on a prom dress. I can just, like, I can just buy myself $50 heart earrings that feel pretty. Like, it's nice, you know? Or can have a really deep, beautiful conversation with a friend, right? And we can, like, cry some tears and, like, feel like have a deep connection, and that's the same thing. So I think at this point, I'm moving away from the idea I need to have these experiences to be a girl, and, like, I get to create whatever girlhood means to me. Mm-hmm. Part of that's being 27, going on 28, and being like, okay, I'm no longer accepting what the culture gives to me. I am creating my own life. But like part of that is like also like it's also the feminism coming through. It's also like that I am gonna embrace who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. What's it like to be your own creator?
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. I have felt more alive than I've ever felt in my whole life. And my mental health has been better than it's ever been. It's really nice to be at a place where I don't feel like I am having to prove my existence anymore. On the gender front, on the job front, I have a career that I absolutely love. On the friendship front, I have friends where I actually feel like these are my authentic friends. These are the people that I am connected to. I don't have to prove myself to them anymore. right? For the longest time, I felt like I have to prove I have myself in order to have friends. I have to demonstrate my value to these people. I no longer feel like that. I feel worthy. I feel worthy in my family. I feel worthy in my friendships. I feel worthy in my career. I help my clients, right? I can treat PTSD. I am a good therapist. And that's not me thinking I'm God. That's me thinking like, oh, I'm a healer. I can do this shit. That feels great. And all of that's connected to gender for me, because when I approach femininity, I approach it very intentionally. It's about compassion. It's about connection. It's about empathy. It's about showing up from those traditionally feminized roles of care and nurturance. And how do I embody that intentionally? Not just the forced into this box because the patriarchy says you have to be a servant to men and children and culture, but I choose to be a healer. Mm-hmm. And that's been very empowering. It's been very affirming gender-wise too. I think being my own creator has been really powerful as a trans person, as a trans woman, because I get to choose the pieces of gender that I like, and I get to leave everything else behind. If I want to paint my nails, I can. If I don't want to paint my nails, I don't have to. If I want to, if I want to do the emotional labor, I'll do it for the people that really matter. I'm not going to do it just because everybody expects me to slap on a smile and be nice all the time, right? It's been really nice. Again, I come back to that. I have no other language for it but aliveness. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was sleepwalking for the longest time, but to be at a point where you feel like your body is your own, people like you because of who you are, not who you're pretending to be. The work you do is meaningful and puts you in touch with your spiritual self. All of that's been really great. And I think that part of that is really coming into connection with, I get to choose my own gender. I get to choose my own authentic connection to myself and my body. And I don't have to choose what my culture gives to me. Because, to be honest with you, the culture, the options for gender that our culture gives people are terrible. Absolutely terrible. Like, they're all really, really bad. And that is my biggest wish, is that we could, as a society, get to the point where we are past patriarchy, where we're past gender, and people are able to be their authentic selves. Talk a lot about that self energy and internal family systems. That's the modality I use. I think a lot of people are looking for self energy, but they're finding it in gender. They're finding it in roles that are given to them. And the secret is no role is going to protect you. No role is going to keep you safe. No role is going to love you. You have to be in a place where you are creating your authentic self. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a beautiful gift that trans women, that trans people give our culture, is that you have to find your authenticity in some space of self-creation, not in a role that you're playing. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that everybody can learn from. I think that that's why I think trans liberation is so important to our culture, because we have to get to a point where we are no longer spending so much energy and so much resources on forcing people into boxes, enforcing women into servitude, enforcing children into very violent, very narrow ways of being. And we can just let people live. So my wish is that self-creation that I've had for myself, that everybody could experience that. Because I see cis people and I'm like, this is sad. On some level, this is sad. Because as much as I love cis womanhood, I also have a lot of problems with it as a feminist. And I have a lot, like, as much as mad as I am at cis men, I have a lot of like sympathy for them in the sense that like, oh, you are in a box that you did not choose. And you are cut off from your emotions and you are cut off from authentic relationships. And it's really sad. Like, we could be humans. We could all be human beings. And trans people have access to that. And it's really sad to me when I see cis people deny that. So I think that's what self-creation means to me.
We've got about 10 minutes left. So this is generally when I ask the question of, is there anything you wanted to talk about, any stories you wanted to tell that, like, you're, like, itching, kicking the walls, trying to get out that I haven't brought up?
I think that the biggest thing for me, and if I may get on my soapbox here.
Get on it.
I think that we need to find a way to come into solidarity, all of us who are marginalized by patriarchy, we need to find a way to come into solidarity, because all of this TERF bullshit, pardon my language, like really upsets me. Because like, as a trans woman, I am, whether I am on estradiol or not, no matter what stage I am in my transition, I am not a threat to cis women. Mm-mm. Trans people are not a threat to cis women. We need to come together and find a way to be in solidarity across all of our intersectionalities of difference. Because if we cannot do that, right, the patriarchy is gonna win. They already took away Roe. They're taking away rights for trans children. It's the same fight. And it makes me so mad that people are not seeing these connections. Mm-hmm. Like, I see my work against DV, and I see my work as opening up space for trans women, and I see my work, like, being a queer person. I see all of these things are connected. If we cannot see how all of the web of oppression and liberation is connected, we're all going to drown together. And it's like all of these sniping at each other about who's more oppressed. It's like, that is not... Like, Audre Lorde tells us there's no hierarchy of oppressions. Yes, we need to acknowledge privilege and those intersectionalities. That is a reason to be in solidarity with people. Mm-hmm. That is a reason to see your liberation is bound up in my own. No woman is... I am not free if any woman is unfree, even if her chains are very different than my own. I live by that Audre Lorde quote. And I think a lot about... Sometimes I think a lot about the way we talk about trans womanhood, trans femininity as this, like... I'm going to put on makeup and high heels and I'm going to take my estradiol and that's all it is. And for me, it's spiritual. For me, it's political. Those things are important. And I think they help us access that self-energy. But I think we really need to see the real revolution it is when we live in a culture where trans people, trans women especially, are affirmed and are allowed to live our lives. Because if we can open up that space of self-creation and authenticity for everyone, especially for children of all different assigned identities, we're going to be so much richer as a culture. We're going to be so much freer as a culture. I also want to put in a plug here for internal family systems for trans people, because I think I have done some of my best healing through internal family systems. This is a model of therapy that you could do with yourself. Go back to those parts of yourself that were denied access to womanhood. Go back to those, and this is for all queer people, go back to those parts of yourself that were denied the right to be your authentic self. The child who is 4 years old and loves somebody of the same gender and doesn't know what that means. The child who is 16-year-old and desperately wants to put on a dress but can't do that because she thinks he's a boy, right? All of these pieces, right? If you can go back to that self inside of yourself and you can let that self know that this is fake, you can be whoever you want and give yourself that experience, that healing, a lot of my dysphoria, a lot of my internalized queerphobia has melted away because I've been able to give myself that. So I think those are some of the things I would say, right? That you can give yourself that aliveness. You can give yourself that compassion and that love that you need, and that our culture really denies queer and trans people. And those have been my biggest plugs. We got to come together in solidarity, and we can give ourselves the healing and the experiences, the what we call in therapeutic spaces, the corrective experiences that we didn't get to have. And that's my biggest hope, right, is that as a culture, we're going to be able to get to a point where we're past gender, where we're past patriarchy, because it does so much damage. It really does. We need to get to a point where people are able to be alive in themselves, and that girlhood, femininity, whatever the gender is, can be a space of freedom and creation. And it's not a set of rules. Mm-hmm. It's not a set of punishments. So I think that's my biggest soapbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.